for 25 years. Nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Friend Zone podcast. This is your boy, Dustin, and I'm here with a very special message, sort of an introduction to something different that we're going to do this week. Recently, we were so excited to partner with Spotify. I know you guys are familiar with Spotify, but we partnered with them to celebrate World Mental Health Day, and we were invited to speak to an audience of about 300 of their employees here in their New York City headquarters, which, by the way, are insanely beautiful, out-of-this-world views. We were way up in the air. But we had a great conversation just about mental health awareness in the workspace and how to manage that when you're involved in such an always-on, 24/7 office culture. And we also were so fortunate and blessed to have Dr. Joy Bradford from Atlanta, Georgia, fly in, bringing her clinical expertise and just her general dopeness to be a part of this conversation and add an additional layer just to kind of support the messaging that we really wanted to encourage amongst everybody who heard this, including you, which is that it's so important to be aware of your mental health within the workspace. So you guys are in for a treat because in that partnership with Spotify, we are actually going to share this conversation with you. You can find Dr. Joy Bradford at Therapy for Black Girls on Instagram. She has a lot of cool things going on, so make sure that you keep up with her. Shout out to Spotify. Thank you so much again for the opportunity, and check us out. Spotify. What beautiful offices you guys have. God damn. This view? I don't even know where to begin.
I would not work. I would just daydream all day working here and lose my job and still come to work as if I worked here.
They told us we were coming here to talk about world mental health. I was expecting depressing, you know, hospital green walls and, you know, and then I got in here. All right, Spotify.
Yes. How's everybody feeling today? All right, now, who's not feeling like that? Yeah, I wouldn't feel like that either. Working. Oh, well, look, there's somebody in the back. Okay, keep it real. You live in New York City. There's a lot of things to stress you out. That's all I'm saying. But without further ado, I'm Asante, as I was previously introduced. This is Fran, Dustin, and today is Dr. Joy's birthday.
Yay. Thanks, y'all. Thank you.
And I actually, before we start, I wanted to mention that Dr. Joy Harden Bradford is a clinical psychologist based out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're very honored that she flew all the way here to meet with us, have this discussion, and share her work with you guys and offer her services, which is amazing to have you here. So we're very, very excited.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course.
Of course. So we thought it would bring great balance because for those of you who are familiar with the podcast, you know that I generally don't give a damn what comes out of my mouth. So we thought, why not add balance to that with a professional opinion? So we're so thankful and grateful to have Dr. Joy here with us today. And when they first, when not they, excuse us, first of all, thank you to Spotify for reaching out to us to participate in this celebration of World Mental Health Day. It's something that's critically important to everyone's success. employed or not. And the fact that Spotify is aware of that is just a huge step in the right direction in ensuring a great environment for your employees. So shout out to Spotify for that. And when you guys first reached out to us rather about this, I started thinking, because I've been working as a entrepreneur in the creative space for about the past year almost, exclusively. But prior to that, I was kind of pulling dual duty. I still had a 9-to-5. I worked in experiential marketing for a luxury automaker. And it was very, very high stress. The cars were high priced, and with a high price comes a lot of high stress. And I stepped into that previously having a background in labor relations. I worked with the labor unions in Michigan. I was the youngest person in an environment with people who had been working there for about 40 or 50 years and now had to kind of be led by me. And it was kind of uncomfortable for them, me being so young, coming into that space. So they were mean to me, you guys. Every damn day, I got called every name in the book. We were working in rural Michigan, building a labor union for people who were caregivers, child care workers as well. And we were literally going door to door offering help and some sort of structure to these people. And they were slamming the doors in our face. In parts of rural Michigan where the homes were 2 miles apart, we had to literally get in a car to go from one house to the next house on the street. And they were not interested in a young brown boy knocking on their door, asking them about their business. And so I was on the other end of that, and it became so stressful for me that I literally had this big meeting with the people that I reported to, and I told them, like, look, I can't do this no more. If you and your mama want to come on and get cussed out with me every day, then fine. But I'm not, I couldn't. I had reached a breaking point, and that was where I started to really be aware of the relevance of paying attention to my mental health in the workspace. And so I started, I just felt like it was important for me to lean into my personality and start having fun at work. And once I started just approaching my day, literally I had the same tasks, the same responsibilities, but once I started approaching it with the goal of, I'm just gonna have a good time today. And I started cracking jokes with my coworkers, even the ones I couldn't stand, even the ones whose breath used to stink early in the morning. You know, it's always one or two of them. But you know, I passed the mint and we just had a camaraderie after that. And every day I got to know somebody a little bit better through that. It wasn't intentional. My approach was, but I didn't intend on really getting to know my coworkers. I just wanted to have a good time. And through that, I did get to know them. I had a good time at work, and it totally changed my approach moving forward to new jobs and new positions that I took on. And when you're from somewhere like me, I'm from the Midwest, I'm from Flint, Michigan, and we're not really encouraged to pursue career opportunities that necessarily fulfill or fortify us. We just are encouraged to do well and try to get as far as we can in whatever industry we choose. And they often forget to encourage us to do something that's fun or something that feels good. So all I can tell you guys today is to make sure that you have a good time, crack jokes with each other. Everybody loves to laugh. And just have a good time every day when you come to work. It really, really will affect your morale. And when you have the kind of support that Spotify is providing, even by organizing something like this, I think it's a recipe for success. And then you get to cuss people out with a smile on your face. So, yeah.
One thing I read when we were having our Spotify briefing for this show was the fact that you guys do have a 24/7 office culture. So there's a lot of hangouts, emails kind of come in all day long. And I know that you're very familiar with 24/7.
Oh, absolutely. But when you said 24/7, I'm thinking about this view. I mean, right. If I could move in, I just might.
But I'm curious to know, and I would love if any of you want to participate, we'll have mics. It'd be great to have some interaction with the audience. But I would love to know how you create boundaries with a 24/7 culture where I understand you want to be highly productive, but I know I worked in a 24/7 office years ago, and I'm already a perfectionist, so it was very triggering for me because I didn't know how to say, no, this is where the job ends and my personal life begins. I would just go full throttle up until every project was completed, and then I realized I hadn't eaten in like 2 days. So, you know, then I started to understand the symptoms, like Dr. Joy and I discussed, of distress, and realizing that sometimes you kind of blaze over them in honor of high productivity and really burn out by the end of the year, which is why all of us are so exhausted right now at the end, what is it, October at this point. So I am curious if anyone would like to share what are some boundaries. I don't know where the mics are. Yeah, what are some boundaries that you put into place where your work still gets done, but your personal life is still intact?
So I would say...
What's your name, baby?
Hi, I'm Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for sharing.
I recently joined Spotify, and I would say I've come from a lot of cultures that are 24/7. And I think one of the things that stood out to me here is the encouragement of bringing family and friends to a lot of the events, so it doesn't feel like I'm making a choice between personal life, is something that I found to be really encouraging. I think people are present, but also comfortable with Slack being something that lives forever. So it's like, if somebody got to you now, then they're having dinner, then you get back, like there's not that pressure. So I think Slack's been really helpful because it keeps the conversation. That's something that I use to stay online for 24/7-ish.
And what is Slack?
It's a communication tool for collaboration. So it allows you, like I said, it just lives forever and just keeps building. So you can just pop in and pop out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar. Thank you so much for sharing. Anyone else want to? Oh, there's someone on this side.
So I think it comes down to two things. One is your management, and I think also being aware of your field. So if you are not a person that can take 24/7, I think be very mindful of the role that you accept or the industry, because it may come with that. And sometimes we make the conscious choice even when we know we're not that type of person. But I think that it also comes down to your management. I'm in the tech part, and I've noticed at Spotify that our management kind of defends us in which some other companies don't. So for example, a lot of our teams are global, but our management team is very stringent with partners to say, look, they don't work at these hours. You're in London, they're not. We're in Stockholm, they're not. And so they kind of drive it down. And I think in an organization, it absolutely starts at the top. Because if your management expects you to be 24/7, that's what you're gonna have to do.
Wow, Spotify.
Okay. Yeah, that's incredibly encouraging, because you don't hear that in a lot of workspaces. You hear the opposite a lot of times. So I'm really glad to hear that Spotify has that kind of a culture.
I'm about to lead a podcast and see if I can work at Spotify. I mean, I felt like I was on an interview today, low-key. I'm like, well, I would love to partner with this company. Get a 401k, something, sheesh.
Well, I asked you about 24/7 because Asante used to be in the service industry, which is high stress. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you endured? Because it was not like Spotify.
Can I say, when you first said it and you looked over at me,
I
felt triggered. But I initially, my first thought was, well, thank God. Like, I worked in customer service, was my first job. It's all I ever knew for a period of time. But I had to thank God that I wasn't the type to work in like overnight restaurants or anything like that, because whenever I worked, I always was like, I gotta go 200% when I get to work. I have to go and knock this out. I'm waiting tables. I have to get everyone fed so I can get good tips. And then you meet people that are there miserable, so they make your life a little bit harder because they don't wanna do their side work. And then you start taking that home. And for me, it was like a lot, it was too much. And I was the type to work whenever a shift was offered to me. Like, if I had plans, I'm canceling them plans to go to work and get that money. But it was like, why am I canceling things that make me happy to go somewhere that leaves me unhappy just to support myself, when I could support myself and be happy at the same time? Like, these were little things I had to learn, but I wasn't learning while I was consistently working. These were the things I was learning when I was reflecting after leaving certain situations. So like, I would quit working like at a call center or a restaurant or a retailer, and I would leave thinking like, okay, I was able to sustain my bills, but what else did I leave with? Like, it was kind of a waste of time in that aspect. So to hear that you guys get to like work here and then y'all are happy too, I'm jealous. I mean, I'm happy that y'all are happy, but I'm jealous, okay?
You should have just brought your friends and family to the restaurant like Spotify is doing. Because now that I think about it, you ain't asked me to go nowhere.
Well, now that I think about it, I did have friends and family come to the restaurant, and that was one of the reasons that I was happier. Exactly. And used to come. Why are you fronting?
To get free steak.
He was coming. I used to work at California Pizza Kitchen, and my friends used to hold it down. Like, there were days where I was like, I'm about to quit this bitch. But then they would come in, they would take up a section, and then they would take care of whoever the server was because I was hosting. So, like, that server that hated me, and I'm sitting up here thinking, like, I didn't want to say it, but I was like, don't tip them that much. But they would leave my server, who I hated, like a good ass money. And they were like, your friends are kind of cool. Then the next day, they're making my life a little easier. I'm like, a little money made you happy, but I'm not going to pay you. We're supposed to be getting money together, so we all need to be happy. And then I learned the art of people-pleasing at work. And I had to break that art when I decided to become a creative, because I need to please my damn self to get shit done. So whole new set of tools, whole new bag.
Well, I worked, when I graduated from college, my first job was actually in the hospital industry, but it was a nonprofit that was working with children who were on medication. And they were working, a clinical psychologist decided to create this nonprofit where we were giving the kids very focused attention with recreational tools, like whether it was music, reading, all kinds of art. It was incredible. And we'd spend time with them after school and give them like very customized attention with the different college students. And it worked. The kids were just very happy to think about it. Your parents are exhausted at the end of the day. A lot of kids just don't have someone that's sitting with them, asking them questions, kind of navigating their minds. So it was an incredible job, but I would spend all my money on these kids. So that was the first thing. Like, not, I didn't have boundaries. My boundaries were very watery. And spending all my time, when the kids would call me on the weekends, I didn't know how to tell them, like, hey, kid, I can only talk to you Monday through Friday. And after 6 p.m., like, don't hit me. I didn't understand those boundaries. And that, like you said, the people-pleasing programming, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I want these kids to know that I really care for them and it's not just a job title. So I think once I transitioned into being a creative, those boundaries still stayed very blurred. And I think what I would love for you to talk to us about are just those boundaries as a creative. Like, how do you do your job? And even if maybe you didn't finish everything you wanted, how do you separate that and say, okay, but I still need to maintain my sanity, maintain my boundary, and understand that I can't, what is the term that we used to say? Self-sacrifice can't be part of your business plan.
I think that that's a great question, Fran, and I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with, like, what is this boundaries? Because it feels like it's become a bit of a buzzword recently, right? Like, what are these boundaries people are talking about? And so I think when you think about boundaries, you think about, yeah, like a line around you and the things that you need to do to kind of keep yourself grounded and to keep yourself well. And I think, you know, some of that people-pleasing comes into the picture, and a lot of this we've learned in childhood, right? Like, so you didn't necessarily just pick this up yesterday. There was likely some grooming in your childhood that made you think, like, I have to be a certain way for people to love me or accept me.
But I then hated that part.
We play that out in the workplace. So you already know that your to-do list is 25 things long, and here comes your manager saying, like, oh, can you take on this one other thing, right? And so you're wanting to be the good employee, so you add this now 26th thing to your to-do list, but then you're not efficient. You know, so you're thinking, okay, I can do all of this, but then are you doing any of it well? So I think sometimes with the people pleasing, you're thinking, okay, I can do everything, but it doesn't turn out well, right? You know, and so the thing that you're most afraid of in terms of maybe being seen as like not as effective or a good employee could be the thing that's actually happening, because now you're self-sabotaging in some ways because you can't possibly do all of those things well. Right. Yeah.
And I love that you mentioned that it starts at the management level, because what used to worry me in the office was feeling guilty for having a boundary and almost feeling like I couldn't do that. Because if the boss is going to look at you differently because you didn't take on those last two tasks, and then, you know, they'll make your life living hell after that. It's not like you can just say no and then you're like, oh, everyone understands a boundary. It would literally cause problems because they just had that expectation.
Especially the refrigerator. Because when you tell them to stop eating what you leave in the refrigerator, then they get an attitude with you. Yeah, that's a boundary crossed.
But I do wonder, working through that guilt, I think that's one of the hardest parts. It's like accepting that the boss, you know, there might be a problem on a management level and not so much on your level.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would hope for any managers in the room that you think about what kind of modeling you're setting for your employees in terms of like setting good boundaries for yourself and encouraging them to set good boundaries with their time and energy as well. But guilt is a feeling just like anything else, in that it will pass eventually if you allow it. But I think sometimes we're so uncomfortable with the feeling of guilt that we just want to do anything to get rid of it. Right. And so if you allow it, like, okay, I know what this is feeling like. I just said no, and so now I have a increased heart rate, or I'm sweating, or, you know, so just allow yourself to know that that's what's happening and for it to pass. But if you kind of constantly run away from the feeling, then you don't ever teach yourself that you can get through it. And then you keep on taking on tasks so that you don't have to feel that guilt.
And that's actually the perfect segue, because I was curious, what are some symptoms that you know about yourself when you are over-functioning in your workspace, like stress of symptoms of stress? Which ones pop up for you? Like, do you think you're aware of what yours look like and how to work through them?
Not always aware, but for some of the ones that I am aware of, like, if I become too snappy, it's like I have either, like, I only function off maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep. For whatever reason, I wake up and I'm ready.
I would die.
But there have been weeks where I would go for like 2-3 days, and then all I got in was a 2-hour nap, and then I've snapped off on somebody, and then they're like, you need to go to bed. And I'm like, damn, you know what? I do need to go to bed. Like, but outside of that, I'm very like conscious, and sometimes my words, I don't even realize they have that behind them, but it's still a process. Like, I'm actually still in the acceptance stage years later that I can live free as a creative. Like, I don't have to worry about a manager calling me out of nowhere and saying, where are you at today? But I do still have places to be and things to get done. It's just that I get to do them and I don't have to blame somebody else for it.
What about you, sir?
Well, I go to bed at night. I'm like Asante. But I think that there's an assumption when you work as a creative or as an entrepreneur, when you're self-employed, there's an assumption that you're not in a 24/7 culture. But you are. It becomes like even more intensified because it's totally up to you to be working or to be sustaining yourself. And that pressure can be a bit intimidating sometimes. And that's when I start losing it. I'd be nice to y'all and stuff, but like people on the train, they get it the worst. So I just have to be aware of that. And I do try to set those boundaries actually for myself to make sure that I have time with my friends doing social things, or make sure that I'm spending time on the phone with my family members and just kind of disconnecting from the routine and from the machine that you have to become sometimes to make sure that I'm still dusting. So I can feel it, you know what I'm saying? And when I feel that coming, I just kind of step away from whatever it is that I'm involved in and do something else for a minute. So
what about you, Fran?
Actually, I will say that in my late 30s, I have honored boundaries a lot better. Like, I have, you guys know, I'll be like, I'm going to bed at 10 or 11. I know that if I have a big project, I'm likely not going to hang out with you guys. You know, sometimes I think when I was younger, I'd be like, oh, it's fine, you know, but now I'm like, no, I know that I'm going to suffer and be hurting. And I know what space my mind needs to be in and what steps have to be taken beforehand in order for me to like work at my optimum level. So sleep is a big one for me. I actually have to get like 9 to 10 hours of sleep.
What?
I know most people think that's insane, but I go to sleep early because I know that that's what gets the best work. Because we use our minds, you know, we're creatives that are very cerebral. So it's like that's needs to rest. And I think I didn't honor that. I would stay up till 3-4 in the morning and then wonder why my work wasn't the best, you know. So even eating properly, working out, making sure that that's in my schedule. I used to, if I was too tired or too stressed, I'd be like, oh, I can't really work out. And I don't do that anymore. Working out is as important and integral to my day as having meals, because I see how, you know, punching bag gets out all that excess energy or frustration with managers or whatever we, you know, we're working through. So eating, working out, turning off my phone, which is a big one. I actually sleep better with the phone being off or not in my room. And I don't know if that's some radiation-ish or what, but not to put on my tinfoil hat, but I really feel like when it's not in my room, and I try, now I've gotten to the point where there's no electronics. I don't even have a lamp in my room. I know, I'm a bit excessive, but I don't have anything electrical that's on in my room, and I swear my sleep has been out of this world.
Yeah.
I think we grossly underestimate the impact that sleep has on our mental health. You know, so you can think about like when you've had a night where you don't sleep well, how you wake up kind of groggy, but then imagine that repeatedly, and then you are talking about significant impact to your concentration, motivation, your efficiency, that irritable kind of rough around the edges sometimes that you feel when you know that you're not sleeping, right? And so, you know, these ideas of like, I'll sleep when I die kind of thing. No, you'll be dead. You won't be sleeping.
Or the hashtag team no sleep.
Right, team no sleep.
Listen,
get rid of that.
I don't subscribe to that, but there is something in my program, and I think that lives that. Because, like I tell you, I try to go to sleep, but I'll wake up out of my sleep, and I'll be like, damn, I only slept like 4 hours. I'll lay back down and be like, let me turn on my PlayStation. Like, I don't know what it is, but you are right. I know it has that effect, but I just ain't ready to change yet.
But it's conditioning, right? It's kind of, I think, for me, it just was something that I had to. There are nights where I'll stare at the ceiling for like 20 minutes.
I would too if wasn't nothing on in the room, friend. So still.
But do you see the difference when you get good sleep? When you wake up in the morning, I promise you, I like float out of my bed.
I believe you. Now that I know you get 10 hours of sleep, I know your secret.
I think the other thing, though, that we don't pay attention to is like a lot of times we will use rest almost as a reward, right? Like I'm gonna treat myself to sleep after I finish this whole to-do list. No, go to sleep. The to-do list will still be there when you wake up. So I
That's
want people
problem.
To break that connection.
So what you're saying is, Ludacris gave us a word back
when he what?
Oh, please don't say the line. No, but I think that has had the biggest impact. And it's something, like you said, people find it rewarding. And a lot of creatives also push that online a lot. Of
Absolutely.
Like, while you're sleeping, I'm grinding.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, grind away because...
I'm grinding into this pillow, my
right.
head.
Yeah, and I feel so healthy. Like, I just feel so clear. I feel like when I read words, I can actually read them and integrate the information as opposed to... You ever try to read a book but you're so tired and you have to read the same page maybe like three times? See, you're like, what did I just read? I have no idea. So I've just noticed as a creative, it's been incredible for me. But I'm wondering, what are some symptoms of distress that you feel people don't speak about enough, or that maybe we tend to think that it's normal?
Yeah, I think especially when we're thinking about like being more creative and like these 24/7 kinds of opportunities, you are working so hard sometimes that you don't even pay attention to the fact that something has gone awry. So changes to your sleep. So usually maybe you're somebody who does require 8 or 9 hours.
Ten hours.
And now you're only getting 3 or 4, or you're sleeping much more than you usually do. Changes in your appetite, either eating more or less. And sometimes we, like you said, like jump up at 3 o'clock and realize, oh, I didn't even have lunch. But you're actually messing up your internal cues towards hunger when you do that kind of thing. So it is really important to be paying attention to how you're fueling your body.
Because I just thought about that. Like sometimes my hunger, well, never mind. It's not for that yet. Go ahead.
He'll get back to that later. And you know, in terms of your mood, so, you know, you feel like you are maybe more down than usual, or just like everything kind of feels foggy, you know, like you're looking through glasses that look kind of hazy and nothing ever seems really clear. Irritability is a big one. You know, in a more severe case, there can be feelings of suicide. I mean, so when we're not paying attention, then there will be signs. It just is about whether you are connecting to them and do you pay attention to what's happening.
We got quiet on that one.
Okay, that was church. We was like, I had to reflect right quick. Dang, Joy, you make me want to go to sleep now. Like,
but not for too long.
Fall is all about getting back into a groove after a busy summer. This year, set bigger goals and feel more accomplished with the Peloton Tread. Add miles and build strength, all without the commute to and from the gym. This is not just another treadmill. In fact, the New York Times says the Peloton Tread is like having a personal trainer come to your house whenever you'd like, which is goals. Runner's World calls it a gorgeous, hip NYC gym in the comfort of your own home and a go-to training tool. One of the dopest things about, first of all, this is like a next-level treadmill. It's an entire immersive experience. And one of the things that's the best that really sets it apart from other treadmills is the innovative hardware, like the shock-absorbing slat belt and the responsive speed and incline knobs. Weightless running up and at your pace or elevation without breaking your stride, okay? There's a 32-inch HD touchscreen, which I know you guys are going to love. This is really something you have to see to believe. So you can discover the immersive and challenging total body training that you can get from Peloton Tread. Peloton is offering listeners of this here podcast a limited time offer. You can go to onepeloton, that's PELOTON.com, and use the code FRIENDZONE to get $100 off of accessories with the purchase of a tread. That's onepeloton.com and use the code FRIENDZONE.
Another thing too, I was curious about, how does someone know if they're suffering from anxiety or if it's just an anxiety induced kind of day? Sometimes I need to understand, like, what's the difference? Because we see that word thrown around a lot on the internet.
Yeah, that's a great question, Fran. So anxiety is normal for all of us, right? Like, there's a level of anxiety that's necessary to cause you to act. So when you know that project is due at midnight, like, you get anxious to get you over the finish line. But when you're thinking about anything that really impacts your functioning, so you're having difficulty going to work, or it's causing impairment with your sleeping or your relationships. So when we're thinking about things that are more like a clinical level, you're talking about the level of impairment that it has in your life. So all of us kind of need a little bit of anxiety, but is it stopping you from doing things? Then we're talking about something that may need you to talk to somebody about.
And the anxiety is okay, obviously.
Yeah, some anxiety is necessary. Yeah.
No, she said some anxiety is necessary, and I immediately thought about Six Flags. I'm not getting on them rides.
That anxiety. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Which gives me anxiety because I brought them to the park, and they won't ride nothing.
This is how you know they need sleep. They're at Six Flags right now. No, but I'm curious with Spotify, because now I'm fascinated by the structure here. What services are offered for you when on the days that you are feeling kind of off? Is there someone here that you can talk to? Like, I'm wondering what the mental health services, how are they structured with the offices here? If anyone wants to share. Oh, there's someone in the back.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Sini. Some of the services that are offered here, there's like a hotline that you can call. We have an oxygen room.
What else? Oxygen room?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
To go in there, take in some air. We have a meditation room. And what else? Workouts. We have workouts daily. So these are all things that I feel like are relievers.
What's the capacity in the oxygen room? I don't want nobody sucking all the air.
You took up your turn with the air.
Wait, so I'm curious about these workouts. Is it so you can step away from your desk and participate in one of the workouts? How does that? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's basically that. The oxygen room is actually just like a room full of plants. So it's a lot more oxygen, breathable oxygen there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we have, like, for workouts, we have yoga and Pilates, kickboxing, I think, et cetera.
So these are, like, classes that you guys set up on a schedule predetermined, or they're just always available? Like,
yeah,
if you just need to go do a yoga pose because you just need to, you just go in there.
Yeah, like, I can walk away from my desk if I check the schedule of the exercise classes and then be like, oh, I'm doing yoga at 2 and just walk away.
Yeah, basically. And normally, like, the classes are around, like, lunchtime, 12 o'clock. So that's when you have the free time to do it. Or you could do it, like, after work because it's always open. So
amazing.
Dr. Joy.
Yeah, that's really cool. And when you said lunch, that made me think, make sure you're taking your lunch, because that's also something else that happens, right, is that we will just work through lunch, right? And then you're not ever giving yourself a break. So, I mean, because this is a 24/7, your lunch may not necessarily feel like a natural stop, but make sure that you're taking these breaks periodically, because that is really important, you know, to kind of look out at this view, or, you know, walk outside, or give yourself just a break from the monotony of what's happening at your desk.
Wow. Do you guys have openings?
Yeah, I told you.
I'm asking for a friend.
I'm also curious, is there an employee assistance program where like Spotify pays for a couple of sessions of therapy? Very cool. So make sure you're using your benefits. So if you don't know this, Spotify is not necessarily getting a report about what you talk about in session. That's not how EAP works. They just know that people are using it. So definitely take advantage of those benefits because that's amazing.
Yeah, and I always wonder that. If that's... therapy is not usually included in insurance, is it? Or
sometimes it is. So sometimes you will have your insurance that pays for therapy, but some employers, like clearly Spotify, have an EAP program where they actually pay for sessions for their employees that don't even go towards your insurance benefits. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, wow. So that's amazing. So you can continue with the therapist and like use your benefits after the EAP sessions run out, but you don't even use your insurance until you have used those EAPs.
Still have money left for glasses.
Exactly.
Do we have a question up here?
How you doing? I'm Sammy.
Hi. What's up, Sammy?
I think one other thing is employees get access to Headspace for free. So I use that every night to go to sleep, basically. Like I play a soundscape and just go to sleep.
Didn't even think about that.
Saying, can we be freelance?
Right. And Headspace is awesome because I noticed, I don't know when they implemented that, but it's on flights now. Have you seen it? I don't know if it's like a specific carrier, but I've noticed when I'm like scrolling through those terrible movies, Headspace is an option and you can do a meditation. I remember I did one once and the lady, when I opened my eyes, she was just like... she was like, that's great.
She was pressing the button like, ah.
But I'm curious, is there anything else in office culture that you feel is not usually discussed? Because I want to make sure we cover all of our bases. Yes.
Yeah, that's
from
a
clinical
question.
Perspective.
Yeah, so I haven't seen your workspaces, but I don't know if Spotify is this open. Do y'all have these open? Okay. So that there is actually... Oh, okay, now remember we be recorded. But I think that people... they look really cool, right? And it's a great idea to kind of have everybody out, but you do want to think about how that impacts your mental health, because I think in some ways this open kind of floor plan is the feeling of always being on, like, and you can't necessarily see who's behind you and like what's happening. So I do think it's important to, again, step away from your spaces as much as possible. People have really talked about improving or benefiting from using headphones, so that there is at least the appearance that I'm not available. And I also think it'd be interesting to just like run the numbers on efficiency, because I think that open floor plan also makes you think like, oh, we can just chat. Right? Like, and then is anybody really working? You know? So, you know, I think the idea is that, oh, we can always consult and we can always be talking with one another. But if you're somebody who is maybe more introverted or does require a little more private time, then you will have to be more intentional about finding those spaces for yourself, probably within the larger building.
Yeah, and that was actually one of my challenges. We didn't have an open floor plan, but the knowing whether or not you should be friends with your coworkers was always tricky, because I've never really been that type. I'm just like, I come here to work. Yeah. And then I'm just like, phew, as soon as it's 5 o'clock. But, you know, people want to have drinks and hang out. And I never knew if that was wise to, you know, kind of integrate the workspace and your social life.
Yeah, I think you really have to think about, again, your boundaries for that.
Right.
You know, because if you have been in this open workspace all day and had this feeling of being on, to then be on after the clock,
right,
really is just a lot. But I do think that there is some level of kind of getting to know your coworkers that is important. But I do think it's also important for companies to make sure that they're not kind of forcing this culture of family, or like we kind of have to all be together, because I think in a lot of ways that does not serve employees well.
In what ways?
I think, you know, when you think about like, oh, we're a family, then can I really be honest with you if something's wrong with me or if I don't agree? You know, like you can't necessarily just go to your mom and say like, hey, I don't like the way you do that, right? So if we're operating the company as a family, then does it feel safe for employees to say if something is off? you know. So I think there's a level of kind of camaraderie and, you know, fellowship that you want to do, but I think you also need to be mindful that everybody does not want to do that, and that some people want to come to work and collect a check and then go back home. You know, so having a mix of that, I think, is really important.
And being aware of like tone, right? Because it ain't nothing worse than your coworkers asking you to go somewhere after work and you don't want to go, right? Then you feel obligated to like either say yes or no, or say no the right way. So just be aware of the tone for you even extend the damn invitation. How about that? That's something I think we need to discuss today.
Yeah, and the gift of being able to read a room. You know, I'm great at reading energy. Like, I'll know whether or not that's even optional just by what you're giving off. So, yeah. I'm also, is there anything else? Because I'm, like, trying to make sure we tap into the clinical.
I don't think I have anything else, but I'm curious to hear if anybody has questions that they...
Yes.
Yeezys, Jordans, Off-Whites. If you're going to be buying sneakers for a few hundred dollars, how can you be sure they're the real thing? GOAT, that's how. And GOAT is the global destination for authentic sneakers, ranging from new releases to rare finds and exclusive drops. GOAT.com is the safest way to buy and sell authentic sneakers online. They have thousands of styles, y'all, all guaranteed, all authentic, and all confirmed by GOAT. From Yeezys to Jordans to Gucci's, GOAT literally gives you access to everything that you're looking for and even the shoes that you didn't know that you had to have. New shit, y'all. They work only with trusted sellers, and before any shoe is sold, every single detail is inspected, from the stitching and the color to the size and even the weight. With over 15 million users around the world buying and selling verified shoes, keyword verified, every day at GOAT, you'll find exactly what you want at the best price possible. Find the perfect 100% authentic sneaker at GOAT, GOAT.com/friendzone. Plus, you'll also be supporting our show, but you've got to go right now before the sneakers you want are gone. And that's GOAT.com/friendzone. And that's spelled GOAT.com/friendzone. Listen, everybody knows how important phones are to culture, how important they are to your life, your personal life, your public life, your professional life, your private parts life, all of your life. You need a cell phone to make things happen, especially that. And so the idea of your phone falling and breaking is terrifying enough. With all those hardcore protective cases out there, it feels like to keep your phone safe, you have to sacrifice style, but not with a phone case from Caseify. Caseify. Caseify lets you have the best of both worlds, military-grade drop protection and a stylish phone case that you'll actually want to show off. Now, these are not the bulky phone cases that turn your phone into an ugly brick. Caseify cases are as sleek and chic as your actual phone, with thousands of designs to choose from. Caseify has done collaborations with artists and with designers, and they have collections with everyone from Sarah Jessica Parker to Pokemon to the goddamn Rolling Stones. You can even create custom cases with your favorite colors and text, so you can have your own thing going on. And they really do protect your phone. Caseify cases will keep your phone safe through drops of more than 6 feet. Okay, go to Caseify.com/friendzone today to get 20% off your new favorite phone case. That's Caseify, Caseify.com/friendzone for 20% off your Caseify purchase. Holla at your boy.
Yes.
I have answered.
You have a clinical psychologist.
Oh, come on. We got one right here in the front.
Hi, my name is Francine.
Hi, Francine.
Thank you, Francine.
I would love to hear from Dr. Joy a little bit of like the added layer of like navigating workspaces as people of color. I think we talked into a lot of things that are like anyone can experience. I think there's an added layer, whether you're like entry level or senior level, of like having that play into how you navigate or experience a workplace, and how even within these conversations, sometimes those experiences can be hard to voice. So any like insight or perspective you can give to that would be great here.
I really appreciate you asking that question. I think
I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm really glad you did. You know, because on top of all the stuff that we already talked about, then you have this experience of maybe being maybe one of few people of color in the workplace. And then sometimes that comes with lots of microaggressions, right? So for people who are not familiar with that, microaggressions are these tiny things and sometimes really big things that make you question, like, was that a jab? Like, or, you know, are things that happen in the workplace that just make it less safe and less comfortable for people to be in the space. So a lot of times Black women will talk about microaggressions related to their hair, right? So you come into the workplace with a new style and people are like, oh, is she a new employee? Well, girl, I've been sitting next to you for 2 years, you know it's me. You know, but things like that you just have to, you have to then have this added energy and added layer of like protection to kind of protect yourself from, because then you need to deal with that on top of the work. So I do think that is also something that employees need to be mindful of. I think it's really important, especially for people of color in a workspace, to make sure that your support system is really shored up, either with other people who work with you or just other people who are in your field, maybe at other companies. Because I do think that there's something related to being able to kind of really get one another and understand like, okay, this is what it was like for me in the office, and they really get it. So I think your support system is really important, as well as hopefully there being like an HR system that's set up to actually hear and follow up on any complaints and take those things seriously when people say like, this does not feel like a safe or comfortable place for me.
That's right, and that's why I cut my hair off. No, I'm just fine. I'm just.
I'm dead at that though. Them be like, not the cutting the hair off, but just people being like, "Oh, you're new here." You're like, "No, been here for 40 years."
It's like, oh, that new hair.
And I think kind of going back to the conversation of like boundaries and. I think especially for people of color, sometimes it does not always feel comfortable for like me to be talking about my family. And, you know, people of color sometimes do want to have less you in my business kind of thing. I don't know what the proper word is, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, so, you know, the expectation, like oftentimes people of color will get stuff on their evaluation about being aloof, or she doesn't seem interested, or, you know,
that's
that kind of
so
thing.
True, yeah.
And it's like, did I perform or did I not? Mm. And so what is this aloofness about, right? Mm. And usually it's related to something social. It's related to a difference in culture that people don't always pick up on, but then it's determined to be a negative kind of experience. So I think that that's something else to be attentive to.
All right, I see we got a question in the back.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Dr. Joy, hi everyone.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
What's your name?
My name is Issa.
Hey, Lisa.
I actually lead the global diversity and inclusion work here, so I feel very honored to have you on stage. Thank you for your presence and your wisdom. I have a question around how people managers can address the struggles that some of their employees may be having with mental health, or for those who may have an actual diagnosed illness, how we can help support those folks through their experiences at work and helping them show up and be present, but also allowing them to find the time to step away if they need to. Do you have any suggestions?
That's definitely a Dr. Joy question.
Yeah, so I think really making it talkable is important, right? So that it doesn't have to be like this hidden secret, though it can be personal, but that if I needed to share with you that I'm struggling with something, that it feels comfortable to do that. I think looking at accommodations are really important. So like, what kinds of flex schedules can you work out? Can people kind of take, you know, more time off than they have allotted to be able to take care of their mental health? Making mental health days a part of like the benefit package, right? And I think for managers to model that behavior. So like, hey, team, I'm not going to be here on Friday. I'm taking a mental health day. And so then if my manager does that, then it makes it feel okay for me to say like, hey, I need a mental health day too. I think having programs like this, you know, you already have the EAP program, which I think is great. So I think just not making it a dirty little secret and something that people can say like, hey, this is what is going on with me and this is how I think you could help. I think, you know, working with their therapist to talk about accommodations could be helpful if the employee wants that
to happen. And, you know, making sure that you support people if there is a mental health crisis. You know, so if somebody's hospitalized, then can the team rally around to, like, make sure they have dinner so they don't have to worry about that? You know, so I think thinking kind of outside of the box to let people know that they're supported, the same ways we would do if somebody maybe broke their leg, right? Like, how would the team respond then? And thinking about doing that same kind of thing if there's a mental health crisis as well.
I have a question. Ooh. If I can just hold on to the mic. I'm a person who is, like, you know, like, high energy. I like to make the jokes. But I'm curious if there are days or moments in which, you know, you do have something going on in your personal life in which maybe, you know, you're in a fight with a friend or a family member is sick, and how, if there are tips on ways to kind of signal that, you know, today is not the day for the jokes, like, I'm not in a serious depression, but, like, it's just, like, not really going to be the one today, without then, you know, telling all of my business to like,
you
what's
just
happening.
Do like this. I think it's foolproof, like, that just...
Dr. Ross over here. Well, I mean, the great thing is that we have our trio and we've been working together for 4 years now, and we were friends before that. And I think the beautiful thing is that we have honored each other's personalities, because I'm a little quieter, more of an introvert, as you can see, more of the extrovert. They're more playful than I am, but the dynamic works so well because we make room for everyone's personality. That's number one. And number two, we also are very open with each other about our challenges. So if I happen to come, because it's contingent on the three of us making the show work every week. So if one of us is off, the other one has to kind of pour in a little bit more so that the person doesn't feel like they have to turn on if mentally they just can't. And I think that's the beautiful dynamic that we've mastered, where we'll say, like, I'm just exhausted today, or, like, something's going on with my family, even if we don't go into detail, but we'll just let each other know, like, I'm just not here. I'm not fully present. So if you can kind of, like, pour in where I can't, then that's how we communicate it, so that no one has to carry a load that they didn't see coming, or, you know, it kind of keeps the show going within our friendship and as creatives. But I think it's just the honesty of it. That's really the only thing that helps. Even in our friend groups beyond just the show, it's just feeling comfortable enough to say, like, I just can't do it today.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, I think you can be very honest and clear with, like, I'm just not really in a joking mood today, without necessarily having to share, or you can be kind of vague in whatever the concern is, but enough to give people the message that you're not maybe your usual self that day.
Yeah, kind of going back to something earlier that was said about people not wanting to feel guilty, you're, like, taking that on, like, oh, I don't want to feel guilty about making this person, you know, feel bad for something that they did, but I'm in a bad mood. But it always comes back to honesty. You have to say when something's wrong, because if you bottle that up, you're just gonna spit that back out at the 10th person that's saying what's up to you. And all they, you know, you can really shoot in the messenger for no reason. But you have to say something, whether it's to yourself or somebody else, and just be really real about the situation. And then if you feel guilty afterwards, it'll pass. Just like the attitude that you'd have or whatever that day, that'll pass too.
And making faces helps too. I don't know if that's it.
Thank you.
And you know what? Actually, that ties into the boundary conversation
making
too.
Making faces?
A lot of times if I do tell someone, like, I'm not feeling it today, or then I do feel that guilt of feeling kind of needing to buffer it or coddle how they may be experiencing that boundary. And so I think the biggest lesson for me too is knowing that I have the right to tell someone that today is not the day, and leave it at that, and that's, like, a full stop, full sentence. And whatever they're experiencing from that, I have nothing to do with it.
How do you say it, friend? Let's practice.
We're not gonna,
like, practice. I'm poking you and starting shit, right? So how
then
you gonna
do this? But we have 4 minutes left, right?
So I think there was a question that showed up on the screen.
There is, oh, really? I have.
Oh, cool.
I just remembered I was supposed to be looking at this the whole time.
Oh, that's so cool.
Damn, Spotify.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, so as a creative, you share so much of yourself with the world. How do you decompress or handle sharing so much?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I've actually found my work to be my cure in a lot of ways. It's so therapeutic. I love that we have a show where we discuss mental health openly, because a lot of the processing I'm doing in my personal life, I'm also doing on the show, which translates into the listeners doing the processing themselves, and it becomes like an ecosystem of feelings and thoughts, you know, and then we discuss it online, and it's just been like the best job in the world for me. And it's not the easiest because it's not popular. Not everyone wants to listen to feelings, you know, at 8 a.m. on a podcast, but it always hits when it's supposed to, even if someone has to come back to it later. And I'm glad to know that we're doing the work and granting permission to others to do the same.
There's also something to be said in the moment where you decide what you're going to share and how you're going to share it. You end up kind of working through your thoughts related to whatever the issue is during that process, and it helps, at least for me. Things that seem, I guess, insurmountable or just like really big challenges that I have to kind of think my way through, if we're going to talk about something that's connected to it on the show, therein it helps me like process whatever is going on at that time, and I kind of work it out internally.
I think social media breaks are also really helpful for decompressing, you know, especially since so much of your creative work may be tied to like online activity. Sometimes you just have to take a step back and pull away from that. Otherwise, you kind of feel, again, this always onness, that I think it's important to really make sure, you know, you're taking care of yourself by taking breaks from social media.
Yeah. And I think what has helped my mental health this year is understanding that I'm not alive to work. That shift in my brain was massive, because I was a work. And then I realized like work is actually, it's gonna sound crazy, but it's just not my priority anymore. My personal life, my mental health, my friends, my family, I'm noticing the older I'm getting, how that feels is first and foremost. And then the work is like the fun part for me at this point. And it's my birthright to sleep. For 10 hours. It's my birthright to not do any work on the weekends and go to the park and ride the bike with my nephew, because I don't want to do work. And I think accepting that and making room for that has made working much better, because now I can be my full self with my full mind and actually like be of service in a happy way.
And speaking of being of service in a happy way, thank you so much for allowing us to do just that with you today.
Yes.
We've had a great conversation. It looks like it's about time for us to wrap up. So I guess thank you guys again for having us. Thank you so much to Dr. Joy.
Dr. Joy, you're amazing.
Yes, Dr. Joy. Yes, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Shout out to our fam at Spotify for holding us down. You know what I'm saying? And letting us pull up on you today.
Thank you, Charlton. You're amazing.
Yes. Thank you, Charlton. Yes. Thank you to everybody, and it's been a pleasure.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Spotify.
Spotify, before we go, I just want you all to know that you have a cool-ass job. And if you hate your job, let me know before you go so I can see if I might be qualified. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks, Spotify.
Thank you.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.